Welcome to Emerging Experts.
In this episode, we're joined by Nazli Dizman, Hematology and Oncology Fellow at MD Anderson Cancer Center. Thank you so much for joining us.
To start, I was just wondering if oncology was always what you intended to go into, or if you kind of had a turning point along the way.
Yeah, this is a very good question. It made me reflect on my years in the medical school. I actually first wanted to become a psychiatrist when I started, but I think that I had two turning points that kind of shaped my career aspirations. One was when I was working in the outpatient oncology clinics, I met with a gentleman with melanoma, which was very large in his leg, and I really felt for him. And at the time, the CTLA-4 inhibitors were just approved, and we were getting it from abroad to Turkey. That's where I studied medical school and did residency. So I have seen his lesion getting smaller with this drug that didn't give him any side effects. So I was really intrigued by the fact that, you know, that was possible without harming, really helping someone. I kind of increased my interest in oncology. I think it later led to my decision to become an oncologist in the future. And at the same time, it drove my interest in cancer biology and cancer research. And I think its second turning point would be the time when I met Dr. Paul and started working with him in Los Angeles at City of Hope, when I really developed an interest in ways to understand the cancer biology and how to act on them.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And just kind of off of that, were there any unexpected hurdles that you faced early in your career? And if so, how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I was born in Turkey, and I went to medical school in Turkey, and I did residency in Turkey. After completing my residency, I came to the United States to do research. I was planning to go back to my home country and do hem-onc fellowship there. But I really fell in love with cancer research and being able to bring it as early as possible to the patients. So I decided to stay. As this wasn't an intended career decision, in my opinion, at first I felt alone. I think that was the main hurdle that I faced in those years. It was early 2015, 2016. At the time, you know, I thought that I was alone. I was the only one coming from abroad. I didn't know many people. But then I think by time I met a lot of people through ASCO, and I had an excellent mentor with great connections who introduced me to a lot of other people that have been through the past that I wasn't intending to go through. And he also introduced me to the people that are going through the same struggles. Then I guess I found my own community, and I noticed that it was not really necessary that I felt alone. I just didn't have the people that I needed. And by time, I really accustomed to the fact that I came from another country, and I really settled in, and it all worked out. People have been really nice and supportive for me.
That is a wonderful answer. Thank you for sharing that. And can you discuss some of the differences between your studies in Turkey compared with that in the United States?
Yeah, I think in terms of medicine and practicing medicine, it is quite similar. The interactions between the patient and the doctor are similar. Intentions of the doctors are similar. But I think the main difference is the cancer research that is limited in lower income, middle income countries. So we had an option here with better support for our research to really advance the field. There are several differences in terms of practice because of the health system, social system versus private system, but I'm not going to get into those details. Although, you know, there are several differences, I think the intentions of the providers and the eventual goal is the same.
Great answer, thank you. And you have done a lot of interesting work thus far in your journey. Are there any early accomplishments that you're particularly proud of?
It's just, I think it, culturally, it's, for most of us, it's really hard to be proud of ourselves. But I think when I look back, I am proud of like all my mistakes and all my accomplishments that led to today, and hopefully I'll do better in the future thanks to like by making those accomplishments and the mistakes. I think in terms of the early accomplishments, I would say that I was challenged by my mentor and colleagues along the way to the extent that I could do. So several attending to several meetings, presenting and conferences were the small ones that I really think that helped build my confidence for the future, just the posters and conferences and interactions with people.
Definitely. And that goes right into my next question of, did you have a mentor who significantly impacted your journey? And how did their guidance kind of shape your career?
Yeah, I was lucky to have amazing mentors throughout my life. I mean, my family mentored me very well. I was lucky with that. And then after that, after starting medical school, residency in Turkey, I had great mentors that really respected my ambitions and really supported in the way that I needed. And eventually, I met Monty Paul at City of Hope, GU medical oncologist, very well known, as you would know too. So he actually has been my main mentor and support since 2016. I think his guidance shaped my career in several different ways. As I mentioned, that you know, the challenges that I thought that I was facing became a lot easier to accomplish with the support of those people. Dr. Paul was, I think, a mentor and also very good sponsor for me. He introduced me to several other people around the States and also globally, really supported me and sponsored me to the extent that I wanted to go. He really, you know, he really understood my own goals and adjusted up my future plans based on that. I'm really appreciative. He always has this open door policy. Although we don't live in the same cities anymore, I could text him and we would be able to meet very soon.
Very exciting. And I'm sure your days are very busy. So what are some ways to make sure you balance your work life with your personal life?
Yeah, I think as a trainee, it's really challenging because we do have clinical duties and we also want to learn research. Some of us, or most of us, may not have enough time to do both. So it's a challenge. And on top of that, maintaining a healthy personal life may become challenging. I'm probably not the best person to talk about it, but I think I'm lucky in a way that I do really love my job as a hobby at some extent. So I do enjoy working extra hours for research. And so I think I'm lucky in that sense. But I guess for all of us, reminding ourselves our worth is important and also really what matters to us, not really undermining anything that is not work related. And you know, making sure that this is, that we are cognizant about the fact that we have to put effort to maintain that balance.
That's a great answer. And what specific area of oncology research are you most passionate about, and why does it hold such significance for you?
So I actually started working in cancer research around 8 years ago now. When I first met Monty Paul, I worked in his group as a postdoc for almost 4 years, and I kept working with them remotely. My research plans had a transition starting from more clinical investigations, then kind of pivoting to translational research, and eventually, I guess, Finding my passion in understanding the axis of immune system and the microbiome. I think nowadays I'm most passionate about understanding this link because of several reasons. I guess one is that we know that it's something that the patients always ask, what diet makes, what dietary interventions we could do, what we could do on our end to help beat this cancer. So, like after these questions, I really got interested in understanding diet as a modulator of outcomes. And then at the same time, we did several investigations looking at microbiome as a factor in shaping one's benefit from treatment. So I think in the future, I would like to focus on more of host factors, microbiome modulation, and also the impact of microbiome within the tumor microenvironment.
So exciting. I actually remember listening to your 2020 IKCS presentation on the gut microbiome and RCC and thinking how interesting this work was. So it's so great to hear your continued interest in this topic.
That's really kind to hear. I got really lucky, you know. It's just I was given good opportunities to showcase our research and others to help raise awareness about this new direction in cancer research. So I'm really glad for that opportunity and the coverage. Yeah, coverage of that opportunity.
Definitely. No, it's great. And are there any novel approaches or emerging technologies you're particularly excited about within your field?
I think several of them. I'm luckily becoming an oncologist at a time that we have several novel therapeutics in all m many disease types, especially in GU, within the bladder cancer field, in the kidney cancer field. Last 5 to 10 years have been really evolutionary. So among those, I think several agents are underway that are more personalized and targeted based on patients' tumors characteristics, which excite me a lot. And on top of that, as I mentioned, dear to my heart, are trillions of resident microorganisms in our body and their potential use to help modulate the outcomes with different therapeutics are some of the research directions that I'm most excited about.
Great. And are there any ways that you envision these kind of impacting patient care in the future?
I'm really hoping that it will, and both for more biomarker testing and understanding how to match correct patient with the correct therapy. Hopefully, we will be able to utilize lifestyle and microbiome-directed interventions in the future too. Of course, this will need a little bit more work before it hits the clinical trials phase.
Wonderful. And I know we talked about mentors a little bit, but how does collaboration influence your work and lead to new discoveries?
It influences everything in our life. I think as physicians, collaboration is the core of what we do. In the clinic, we collaborate with a huge team caring for a patient in the healthcare provider side, plus patient and the patient's families. We team up with them and we try to find the best way together. So I think that experience is something that we bring to the researcher in a very successful way. And both in the bench side and the clinical side, several collaborations help us bring really valuable research findings to life. I think it is a vital part of the life, and I'm glad to have met several people who are willing to help out and participate in collaborations, and I can't think of any project that I did alone.
That is a perfect answer. And though it's a question with many answers, what are your predictions for the future of oncology research? Are there any particular areas you believe we'll see progress made in?
I mean, clearly, cell-based therapies and antibody-drug conjugates are going to be a lot more common. I think both in GU cancers and other cancer types too. I'm really hoping that we will do better in understanding biomarkers to really use precision oncology when treating our patients. And again, I guess understanding the microbiome and immune system axis and perhaps, tumor resident bacteria and their relationship within their work in the tumor microenvironment are like another research points. Hopefully, if we could understand better, that we could translate into to clinical interventions.
Perfect. And what advice would you give to somebody just starting their journey in re oncology research?
So it's funny because I am a first-year hemon fellow, so I'm considered the first-year oncology, someone who just started oncology training. But I guess I have been in oncology research for around 8 years at least now, so I could potentially comment on that. Oncology is a field that moves so fast. It is fascinating, and I guess and then we are forced to. Not forced, we're encouraged to really publish, put out reports, write papers, do statistics. But I guess in oncology, everything starts with really reading and learning it. Sometimes it is something that we don't focus on much while trying to learn clinical practice and learn and produce research papers and abstracts, presentations. So really sticking to reading and learning from others is probably the fundamental thing in oncology and trying to keep up with all the developments. Another thing is that oncology community has been very supportive, in my opinion, for me. So really trying to build a big network and find your own people and community who could support you both personally and in research would probably be my main two recommendations.
That's great. Thank you so much. And are there any other things that you would want to share with the oncology community, young professionals, aspiring researchers, anything like that?
On top of what I mentioned, I'm thinking right now that potentially really reaching out to people and trying to work with several mentors, not restricting yourself to one or two people would be another thing. And I guess as mentors, I would probably encourage people to sponsor their mentees so that they could really branch out, network well, and develop themselves in the best way.
This was a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad we got the chance to speak today. To conclude the convo, are there any specific research that you'd like to highlight or leave our audience with?
My research right now really focuses on understanding the microbiome as a modulator of outcomes, plus really learning the technologies to investigate tumor-resident bacteria and ways to modulate them. As a first-year fellow, those are my plans for the next few years.
For more updates on the latest news and trends in oncology, be sure to visit www.targetedonc.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. You can also find us across social media platforms. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Targeted Onc, and on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Targeted Oncology. See you next time!